Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be and be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com.
Hello and welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters. This is Jen Taylor. This has been like an afternoon, I'm telling you right now. So anyway, nobody knows what's happening exactly, except man, my brain. Welcome today. You know what? I love it when you have all of these weird issues that are, operator error, because if you needed humility, that's a good way to get it. Today I have Jeff Kroll. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic today. I'm excited.
Okay. I tagged you on Facebook. We're live on Facebook. I'm super excited because this is titled aptly 43 dates in 120 days to find a soulmate without using dating apps with
you. Yeah, absolutely.
So the first thing I want you to talk about is your book, which I've purchased. It's on my Kindle and I have my soulmate. So lay it on me.
Well, this will be for all the people that don't, right?
Yes, 100%, 100%.
So my book was based off my story and how I found my soulmate. And there's 5 key steps that I teach inside of it. And the secret one that I call is my 5th power secret. Now, technically, there's 5 full secrets in the whole book. Because in each one of those steps, there's some powerful things that are in there. But so that's how I came up with the name and so on. So
I love it. I have it. I'm going to be reading it. The next thing we have put in the secrettofindlove.com, or it's secret to find love, not the. Don't put in the secrettofindlove.com. Jump in and let me know what that one is.
Yeah, so that's basically a free training that I've done for people so they can start to learn some of the secrets and how to integrate them in their life. Because I find some people, you know, they just kind of want a little extra value and they want to figure out like how to do things. So I actually give you live training, things that I would teach my clients to do so that they could find their soulmate from it. And then those that want to go deeper, there's ways to do that. But, you know, it's not a big sales pitch. It's really just all value inside of it. And it's about an hour and 20 minutes. So there's a lot of content in there.
Wow. Okay. So now take me to jeffkroll.com, which is, let's see, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So jeffkroll.com is just my main website. So it shows all the different aspects. So I've been a consultant and trainer in the financial industry and business industry, working with entrepreneurs and business owners to build their business. And I've been doing that for over 17 years. I mean, I have 25,000 hours doing that. So I have that and life coaching and all sorts of different things that are available. The book, The 5th Power and The 5th Power Formula, is exactly what I teach, whether it's life coaching, whether it's finding your soulmate, or whether it's building your business. That same formula is exactly what I teach in all of those areas.
I love that you said that because I know a lot of us, many of us pivot in our businesses, and I've pivoted just in my niche, but nothing in the content has changed, nothing in the direction. I could use it like insert here, right?
Yeah.
Although it is, what is done differently is you add slightly different things from like business compared to coaching but the template, the precept for it is all the same. So I'm glad that you pointed that out.
I think Jim Rohn you know, says success leaves clues, right?
Ah.
And so if you have the success formula that works, right, then there's nothing to change other than the topic, right?
Right.
The formula and the of the success is always the same inside of that. So
I love, so on your page under the part, the soulmate training that people can sign up for, and that's the one that you're talking about is free.
Correct.
Yeah. So I want to brag a little bit. So it does say bestselling author. So I'm going to point that out again. And then it says he's a family guy with an extraordinary wife and four amazing kids. His purpose in life is through integrity, fun, and happiness. He empowers others to live an extraordinary life beyond their beliefs. They can live a life of endless possibilities. And you've been married 15 years.
Correct. Correct.
So I want to point that out because, like, I love our title, right? 43 dates in 120 days. Woo, find your soulmate. But, like, not only did you do that and find her, it's been 15 years.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, I think that's the key thing, is I think the whole area around relationships and marriages, right? When you look at the statistics, the divorce rate that's out there, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think the biggest piece of that is the foundation. And so if you don't actually have the solid foundation for you to build like a skyscraper, you know, a relationship that lasts 15, 20, 30, 50 years, right? Then yeah, it's going to crumble. And so that's one of the things inside of my formula that I just really teach, is you've got to have the right foundation, because that will shatter the divorce rate. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the statistics, but they're getting worse now. But
I wanted to ask you if you knew the statistics. I don't.
Yeah.
I'd love to jump in that.
Over the last 40 years, okay, we just took the last 40 years, 66% of first marriages fail.
Wow. I thought it was 50. Okay. 66.
Well, 50 is the average, like right now, so to speak. And it's actually getting worse because of our, you know, COVID and so on.
Right.
So,
right.
But 50 is about right. But then it gets worse by the second marriage, and it gets worse even by the third marriage. So why is that? You know, so that was the problem that I started to realize. It was like, why is that happening? And you've got to be able to get a better rating than a D, right? 66%. I'm like, oh, who's teaching this stuff? You know?
D's get degrees, but they don't keep you married. You know?
Exactly. So that's what I was like going, just doesn't make sense. Right. So how do you flip that? Right. And so that's where, you know, I thought for sure the first piece is the foundation. And I think a lot of, you know, the ways the dating apps and so on that I was using, you know, were problems, is there was no like vetting or verification of data. And so now you're just like looking for that needle in the haystack. So to me, it was just another wild goose chase to go on.
I was introduced to my husband, but he, by my oldest daughter, actually, but he was on dating apps, and I love to give him a hard time about his dating app experience. And you know what's interesting is that if, let's say I was going on a dating app, I would think, okay, I know I'm being genuine. I know my pictures are current. I know my information's current. I know I'm putting myself out there. And if I'm doing that, certainly there have got to be other people who are also doing that. Although, like you said, it's a needle in a haystack, right? Because you hear all these stories about people using, like, I'm 50. I wouldn't use my high school picture.
Exactly. There's
nothing good would ever come of that.
I know, you show up and it's like, well, who's this person? It's me, man.
I always even thought about that just in life in general. It's the same thing where a guy meets a woman at a bar and takes her home and wakes up the next morning like, oh my gosh, who is this? And you know, to be funny, I've got three things going for me if I'm meeting men at a bar: lighting, makeup, and alcohol. And if you take away dim lighting, makeup, and alcohol, things better be on the up and up without those three helps, right? Without those three things boosting your chances, because I never wanted any, I never wanted like my picture on my website to be where I have fake eyelashes and all. Like, I don't do that stuff in my normal life. So right. I never wanted to do these glamour shots and have it up on my website. And then if you met me in the grocery store, you'd be like, what happened? You know, like
what happened? Exactly.
And, in dating, I think that that's super exaggerating on apps, but you have experience on that and I don't. So is that the case?
Yeah. No, it is the case. It is the case. It's crazy. It's crazy. Okay. Because there's, like I said, there's no verification on any of this. So it's on the honor system that you have integrity and you're going to actually be honest and truthful about what's in the moment, right? And so how many people in the world actually honor that? Well, not a lot. They tend to fib a little bit, and then that fib gets exaggerated, and then that fib gets even more exaggerated, and then that becomes what they think is the truth. But then when they actually post everything, they may think that that's really the truth, but it's not a demonstration of who they really are right now. And so I just found myself, I went down that road. I did dating services. I did online service or apps and websites. And it's evolved even more and more now since when I was dating 15 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But it's even worse, I think, because all the swiping and all this and that, it's all, you know, presentation and view and all this stuff. And there are even people actually teaching people, like, this is how you want your image to be. This is how you want to do this. This is how you're going to get more, you know. And to me, it's all trickery, right? Yeah. But even here's what you need to say to the woman to get this. Here's what you need to say to the man to get this, right? And it goes over and over and over. And all of that to me, again, is just the lack of integrity, or you're shifting things to get what you want. But in the long run, that's still another bad foundation for you to have a relationship for the long run.
Well, yeah. And if the divorce rate, let's assume if it's your first marriage, 40 years, you said the average was 66%, which is horrifying, even 50%. But let's make an assumption that it's not your first marriage, right? That's less and less. So you want to be as authentic as you possibly can be to have the greatest possible chance.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's again, knowing that each relationship gets worse, right? On the percentage wise that it's going to last, tells me also something that you're probably carrying over each relationship to the next relationship, to the next relationship, not getting any of those things. Like there's a chapter I call The Power of Action and Reflection. If you're not reflecting on those things and getting clarity, then those things are just going to carry on to the next one. And that relationship's going to end even quicker. And then the next one. And we fall into that kind of rabbit hole, or, you know, that whole, you know, hamster on a wheel type, where you're just going from one thing to the next thing, wondering like what's wrong that's there. You know, I mean, that was the big thing for me. I thought there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, and after all my journey, I found out there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just following this automatic pattern inside my brain of what's going on there. And so you know, we have that problem when you start going from one relationship to the next.
Yeah, it's like a backpack. It's like a backpack you throw on that weighs a ton that you're just dragging from one to the other. Yeah, it's horrible. And I in my coaching, I work with limiting beliefs, and you do also. That's an NLP terminology. So are you licensed in NLP, or was it something similar?
I'm not, actually.
You need to.
Yeah. It's just common sense. Like if we know from basic psychology, you know, that, you know, the beliefs create, you know, what those thoughts that you say to yourself and to other people, and those thoughts create the emotions and the feelings that are there. And it's between your beliefs, thoughts, and feelings and emotions that actually create how you take the action. Then, you know, and then that action leads to some results. And so the problem is I think most people constantly start looking at the action. They're like, oh, I tried the dating app. That didn't work. Oh, I tried this dating service. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, I tried this. It didn't work. Oh, I tried networking. Oh, it didn't work. I tried, you know, they straight going through that. But what they didn't do is they didn't start with the core of what needs to be shifted,
right,
which is the belief, you know, and that belief is likely to be limiting. That belief is likely to be stopping them. And so that's definitely the first place you want to take. And that's really part of what that fifth power secret of mine is it starts not only with that belief, but then how do you live in the world of intentions, like showing up in the moment as your best self. And so I combine those types of things together so you no longer are stopped by the beliefs that are there, whether you can see them or whether you can't see them, right? And I think that's a very important part of that aspect.
I tell people who want to try to determine some of this on their own, because I'm all for DIY for people who want to do that. Anytime you say something absolute, like I never, I can't, I won't, that won't, I always, or she always, when you say something that's absolute, that is a really strong indication. Like there's at least one limiting belief there, right?
Right.
So anytime you find yourself speaking in an absolute, I can't, it won't, stop and ask yourself the question, when did you decide that? And you might not remember when you decided it, but you will start to recognize what you decided and that it has become a limiting belief. That decision became a limiting belief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you licensed at NLP too?
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. So see, right. You know, that's from a licensed professional.
Well, but you have, how did you track 25,000 hours of clients? That is nuts.
a lot of consulting.
That's a lot.
I did. There is quite a few years where I had lots and lots of clients. So I've narrowed that down now where I can spend more quality time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had quite a few clients at that point.
I love that. We can save that to the end. At the end, I want to ask you what some of the most common things that come up across all the different, because you've worked with several demographics, niches.
Yeah.
There's got to be common threads. We can talk about it later. We could talk about it now, but.
Yeah, I can go through them. There's three things, and I call them your deadly invisible forces. And so what these are is typically what I have found, whatever it is that you're trying to get accomplished that stops you, kind of leads to these three things. So the first one is trying to do everything on your own. So usually that's you doing it all by yourself. These are your do-it-yourselfers. These are your hard workers trying to figure things out, and they're doing it secretly. They usually don't announce it to others because they don't want to look like they failed. They usually are just trying to get everything the way they want it faster, but yet find themselves in the same trap over and over and over. Because that's that trap of those actions. They keep changing the actions. I'm going to try this action. Oh, I'm going to try this action. Oh, I'm going to try this action. And they keep getting stopped, not wondering, like, why am I not succeeding through this? And they get burned out. They get frustrated. They get angry with themselves because they're not getting the results that they want. You know, and so those people is probably, that's one of the deadly forces that almost always happens, that I can just see immediately as I start asking questions, as I start, you know, digging deeper in what they've tried and how they tried it and all that stuff. And then, so that's the first one. Second one is naysayers, right? So these are all the people in their community, in their life, right? People they talk to the most that say things to them, those little one-liners, right? Like, in relationships, for example, it'd be like, well, why haven't you found someone? Or they would say things like, I mean, why did you break up with so-and-so? That was a great girl. That was a great woman. That was a great guy. You shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, if you don't change this, then you're never going to find someone. And they say all those things from their heart, and they're really, they want to contribute. They want to make a difference, But what they don't realize is that, you know, the other person on the other side's thinking, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe all those negative, unconscious beliefs that are there, and all they're doing is confirming that. So now I have others telling me that. I'm seeing that in my head, even though I fight with them saying, oh, no, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. Inside, I'm thinking, yep, that's exactly it. You know, I feel the same way. It must be true, so boom, right? So that's the second one that typically happens. And then the third one is what I would just call procrastination or shiny object syndrome, right? Like, there's a squirrel! No. And going down some rabbit trail, finding it. But they get distracted, right? And they use that as a justification to not actually deal with what's really there. You know, so they may, you know, find themselves working way too many hours. So then they say the justification is, I don't have time, you know, right, to find my soulmate. Or, you know, they may find themselves, oh, you know, I need to work on myself first, right? Then I'll be ready, right? And yes, you do need to work on yourself, but it's not like first this, then that, right? And so anyhow, they have all sorts of different shiny objects. They're moving from one thing to the next thing, not really clear and focused on what they really want. And they definitely, you know, if we watch them, I always say, if we watched you on a video camera all week long, would we be at the end watching that movie going, yep, that person is 100% committed to finding this? Or would we sit there and go, well, they haven't really actually shown up that way. Looks like they procrastinated here, they procrastinated here, they procrastinated here. And in today's world, with all the technology and carrying that cell phone around that's buzzing you everywhere, right, you get distracted very, very easy. So those are the three that almost always show up, and they're the most common ones across all my clients. And all of that typically leads to some sort of what I would call giving up disease, like where you just flat out give up. You may not say it out loud, right? But you do. I mean, in the dating world, that would be things when people say, oh, well, when the time's right, the time's right. You know, I'll just let the universe bring the person to me, right? I'll just, you know, it'll happen when it happens.
How's that working for you?
Exactly. And that's what they should be asking themselves, right? It's like, or why am I saying something like that? Well, because there's a whole bunch of things that are confirming that there is no chance for me to ever do that. So it's better to say that, because then I just feel like I get people to stop talking about it with me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow. So we're our own worst enemy for sure.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
I want to go ahead.
Oh, no, that's
true. I want to go back in time to your story, because I think your story is going to be all of our stories to some degree or another. So you can go back as far back as you want, but let's jump into that, because obviously your story is what you do. You created, not only you have other demographics and things that you've done, which are amazing. You did take your journey to find your soulmate and realize that, you made this actually work, and 15 years later, retrospectively.
Yeah.
So
for me, my story started with, just like most people's story, there's either probably some sort of bad breakup, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have gone through a divorce, right? But there's something that happened, right? And then I fell into the trap of the deadly invisible forces. And it was at that time where I literally gave up, and I didn't even know I gave up. And so what happened for me is I was coaching one of my clients one day. He's in Australia. And he was telling me what was going on for him. He's like, I can't find clients. I feel hopeless. I think I should just sell my business, move on, do something different. This is not working for me. And I'm like, well, Didn't you tell me this is what you really wanted, to have this ideal business that you're building? And he's like, yeah. Why are you saying all this stuff? Well, and so at the end of that, I was just like, you can do this. You know, you're successful and you can make this happen. And I said, man, if you just drop ship me in Australia, I'd find clients and you're much better than me. And he just said, well, what would you do, Jeff? And I walked him through these five steps that are now my fifth power formula. And basically he's like, at the end of the call, he was, you know, alive and energized and focused. Like he knew, like, he was like, man, I got to get off the phone. I got to get into action, you know, and he was moved on. And then we hung up and then I looked in a mirror and I said to myself, wow, that was some good advice. I should probably take that in my own life. Right? We've had that time, right? Where we said that, and it's just like, man, especially as a consultant and a coach, you know, you start to go, dang, that was really good. I should probably do that myself. Like, or where in your life are you not doing that? You know, and the thing that was right in the mirror in front of me was relationship. Like, it was just like, man, I really gave up on, you know, having a family, finding the woman of my dreams, you know, and have all of that because I've always wanted that in my life. And I didn't realize how much I gave up to it until that moment. And that's when everything shifted. I was just like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do exactly what I just told him to do, except I'm just going to do it for finding the woman of my dreams.
That is so fun and so crazy. I love it.
Yeah. And that was the thing that shifted everything. And then, so I was like, okay, you know, and I have something that's called the commitment push. And this is like one of the other key things to do. And that is, what is it that, you know, start with the end in mind, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, so here's what I want. I want to be sipping daiquiris on the deck of a cruise with the woman of my dreams by the end of this year, which was, you know, pretty much, that was probably March. So, you know, I had 9 months to go, right?
Okay.
So I was thinking, okay, cool. That's what I want, right? And then, so how would I like lock that in? Well, I decided to purchase 2 fully paid cruise tickets for me and the woman of my dreams on New Year's in the Caribbean for 7 days, fully paid for, non-refundable. That's who I'm going to do, right? So that puts me on the line. That gets me, that's me throwing my hat over the wall saying, I got to figure out how to get my best hat back, right? And so that was the first thing that I do. And I call that the commitment push. Like, what is it that's going to push you to actually make this a priority, right? No matter what distractions come up. So that was the first step I did.
Okay. That's massive. And that's massive. I like it. Okay. So, and then what?
Okay.
I mean, so, 121 days and 43 dates. I have so many questions, but go ahead.
So here's my dilemma number one. So I did that. And then the ticket lady said, well, who's going with you? And I was like, oh, the woman of my dreams. And she's like, well, we need a thing. You're going to the Caribbean and you need to have a passport and we need to tell the government who's leaving and who's coming back and so on. So I need a name. And I was like, by when? And it was 160 days out. And I was like, 160 days? I was like, oh my gosh, there's just no way. Right? All the negative things started coming in. Like, oh, maybe I'm doing something stupid. We shouldn't do this. Maybe I should do something different. I had all these thoughts that were there. And then I realized that that was just limiting me and stopping me from actually moving forward. So I said, well, let's just do it. And she goes, that's non-refundable. I'm like, okay, that's okay. Let's just do it. And so that's what happened next. And then I got into action, obviously, because now not only did I think that I had, you know, 9 months to go, I'm now thinking, holy smokes.
You have five.
I just cut it in half, you know, and I was like, you know, so now I was like really in action, right? And so that's why people say, set the goal, set the date, set the commitment, set something. And I call that the commitment push, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So that was the next thing. So then I got into action. The first step that I teach is my fifth power formula. So like really start to look at what are those limiting beliefs that stop you? What are those things that have prevented you over the last, whatever, 3 months, 6 months, year, 5 years, 10 years out, however long it's been for you to commit to what it is that you're up to, or when you had that first thought that this is what you really wanted, right? And what is it that's stopping you? And just remove those first. And I have a whole step-by-step process to help do that.
Okay.
Because that's crucial in that first step. And then set an intentions on how to become your best self when those things are no longer there, and how to show up on a regular basis from that perspective, right? And I think that was really, really key, that you have to do that step first, because if you don't, then, you know, you find yourself falling back into the trap of that limiting belief. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. What were some of your limiting beliefs through this process? What did you have to tackle?
Well, the first one, that there's something wrong with me. Like I said, I went through, you know, my bad.
Okay. Hang on, we're dinging. Yeah, it's all right. We're just going to have a day of glitches. I'm all for it. I'm just Brit.
How about now?
Yeah, you're good. Okay. So,
that was the thing that stopped me there was one, I went through a bad divorce and I had it that there was something wrong with me. And so I went on this journey and I started reading all the personal help books. I started looking at everything. Like, how do I solve this problem of what's wrong with me? And what I discovered, there was nothing wrong. There was something wrong with my thinking, right? And so that's where I shifted my fifth power, secret power that I teach, because I knew that I had to shift that first. Then the second thing was the foundation, right? So we needed to know, like, if relationships fail because of the foundation, and I could see that in my own past relationships, that I never really set the right foundation, is where I started to realize how important, you know, the power of clarity and focus is. And so I started to go through those steps to identify who is that person and how do I know that that person really is that person, you know, and how, what are the steps I could do to really make sure I'm using all core pieces to attract and find that right person. And I'm sure you're familiar, obviously, with the reticular activating system, you know, and so that's that whole bundle of nerves that are in the back of your brainstem that really filter out everything that's unnecessary and only focus on the most important things. So how do I use that tool inside my brain effectively with my new beliefs that I've created for myself? And so those two became very, very crucial and powerful. And even some of my clients that have, I always challenge them to beat my record of 120 days. And some of my clients have, you know, they've done it in 30 days and 60 days and 90 days, which is like phenomenal. And a lot of it always started with that, these first two secrets, right, inside of that.
Okay.
So
how many dating apps did you get on? Did you have to have some sort? I know there are apps now, at least, that can keep track, like a spreadsheet system. Because here's the thing. I don't even mean this in a really mean way. I don't mean this in a mean way. Like, I wouldn't be able to keep track of more than a couple conversations after, you know, especially if those conversations were very, very, very similar, because you're doing the getting to know each other thing. So I know that, what was your spreadsheet system to keep track of who? My brain can't handle that.
So, I hear you. I hear you. So back then, right? Because it's 15 years
Okay.
ago, right?
Yep.
There was
Yep.
really only four or five sites. You know, there was
Okay.
Harmony and Match.com and a few
Yeah.
others that were all out
Right.
there. And I was on all of them, right? And you're right. When I was doing that, it was very confusing to keep track, but at least I had notes on those systems, right?
Okay.
So once I decided those have been wasting my time, and I did that for a while. Like once I made my choice that I was going to find my soulmate, I didn't use any of those apps because I remembered from all the past how much of a wasted of time that was. And
Okay.
so I just said, okay, if I can't use those, how would I do it? Right?
How would you do it?
And it was part of what I was teaching my client on the phone about, like, how do you find ideal clients? How do you find your soulmate? It's all the same thing. You do it through your community. And so that's my next chapter, which is called The Power of Asking and Community. Most people don't ask because they feel like, you know, they're weak, right? Most people feel if I ask, then I'm showing that I'm weak, right? And so what I found is that, you know, the 6 degrees of separation, right? You can find anyone in 6 degrees. I found you can pretty much do it in 2 degrees on the most part, at the worst. You didn't have to go all the way to 6 degrees, especially when you're looking for your soulmate. I mean, it's funny too, because when I say soulmate, some people are like, oh, there's that one, and there's this all these definitions. To me, your soulmate is just the man of your dreams, the woman of your dreams, your life
Right.
partner, however you want to describe it. And I believe there's millions of soulmates for you. It's really when you're ready and they're ready, when does that match bump into each other?
Okay. I had a conversation with my husband when we met, and he said, I remember, and he said it in a way where I was like, you're lucky I don't punch you in the throat. But I understood what he was saying. He's like, you are designed to work really well with me, but you're one of 100 women in our town that I probably could have met that's designed to work really well with me. They may be stronger in some areas that you're not, and vice versa. Like if you have a top 10 things that you have to have in this
Right.
other person, maybe they're moved around in order. And I was like, cool. So I'm just like one of 100 chicks you could have dated and liked. So, all right. Having said that, that is actually true. That's what you're saying. I mean, you're right. It's you being ready and that person being ready and then meeting. But there's, I mean, for me, there was never like that one be all end all, because what if something happened to my husband?
Yeah.
That means that was it. Good luck. All right.
Yeah, I already found my soulmate and that person's gone. So I guess
you're
I'm
up a
stuck
creek.
alone for the rest of my life.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's why I say there's multiple out there. And it's really when I get into my power of clarity and focus, it's really what are those top five qualities that you know, like the top five, not all the big long lists that everybody tells
Yep.
you to make and so on. Yes, you can look at that list as the big view, but it really, if you narrowed it down, you can narrow it down to at least five in which all the rest of the list fit into. And I think that's a key thing, because your brain can't comprehend a list of 10 or 20 or 50 or 100.
Right.
But it can comprehend five. You know, and I wouldn't even go more than five, sometimes less for some of my clients, but it's just, what are those top five? And then you have to confirm that you meet the top five of the other person, right? Because just because that person's
Yep.
perfect for you,
yep.
if you're not perfect for them, guess what happens in a year or 2 years or 5 years? Well, it's about a 66%, 67% rate. It's going to work, right? So
right.
There's that. That's why I said you're going to bump into a lot and you're going to meet those people and so on. So
you stopped the dating apps. You went into your community, which I love. And I'm so thankful that that's how you did it. I have my two closest friends. One ended a marriage after 25 years and one after 21 years. And so I got to watch them have to navigate life from almost 30 years ago when it wasn't like this at all. And starting, it's nuts. It's nuts out there. So you did it in your community, which I love. How did those 43 dates in 120 days happen? And really, how did you keep track of people? Like, I'd have a steno, but I'd have notepad. So
back then, there was the things called Palm.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Remember the system? So yes. I used to have Palm, and I literally would keep notes on every date that I went on. So that whenever I was talking to that person or calling that person, I would pull up those notes just to remind myself of those key conversations that really matter.
Seriously, that is no put down to you, Jeff, at all. I would honestly be lost in those conversations. I know if I have three things on my list, I'm probably okay at the store. The second there's a fourth thing on it, I have to have a list. I will not remember.
I couldn't either. There's no way I could remember. And the cool part, I mean, like, and it really was 32 people that I went out with, but some of them I went on second dates. So it was a total of 43 dates, but really it was only 32 different women, which to me is still a lot. Like, if you would have told me you're going to go out with 32, I would have said, okay, forget it. I quit already. Right? So I was a poor dater, I would say, a slow learner, so to speak, because most of my clients didn't even go out on that many dates.
I mean, whatever the number was, 43, 32. Okay, so 32 women and a couple of them you doubled up on. How easy was it to decide you or she was eliminating the other person as potential? Because if most of those were single dates, there had to be some way.
Yeah. So in my next section, it's called The Power of Planning and Preparation. It really teaches you, like, what do you say on those dates? How do you make those dates meaningful enough and deep enough in the conversation that you really can tell whether there's simpatico there, whether there's a match there, you know, whether that person is really a high potential of being your soulmate, right? And okay, you have to measure that, because if not, you're just kind of just going with the flow, and then you're likely to fall back into your limiting belief and settle the wrong person versus settling with the right person. And or not even settling, but settling with the wrong person versus, like, knowing the right person is there. And I think that's key.
Is that like a sales call? I'm not minimizing.
What I'm saying, because it's all interconnected. It would be in the dating world if we really had to manage it from a perspective of a business owner.
Okay,
it is, right?
Okay. I think this is great. I love this.
You know, and that's why I typically work with business owners and, you know, entrepreneurs, is because they get this.
Yeah.
You know, they get it. Yeah, it is a sales call.
Okay. I get that.
You are qualifying, you know, you are checking this out. Now, people dating, they don't want to say that. Oh, no, and this happened in love and natural, and it just all fit. And yes,
no, it's not.
Those things happen from an experience, but it's the actions that you take that determine those things. And that's a sales process. I mean, you're really dwindling it down.
Actually, so Jeff, one of the things that I am a firm believer in dating is having a expectation prenuptial agreement. So prenups are easy in finance, right? But this is like an expectation of the relationship, which is the equivalent of a job description.
Yeah.
And your conversations around this are like your what is it when you're an employee and you go in for that meeting to see, and it, like, you're a performance evaluation.
Yeah. So I agree 100% with you with that. Yes. because here's the thing, if I'm left to all my limiting beliefs and all my emotions, you know, part of it is that I don't want to be alone anymore. Right.
Yeah.
And so if they don't have all the qualities, I'm more likely to let those emotions get to me and just accept what's there. This is why the divorce rate's so high. Because eventually, when someone gets married, knowing that I accepted this and you accepted this, but neither of us had signed an agreement saying, oh, by the way, since you are an unorganized person, which drives the heck out of me in my head, because you're unorganized, I'm going to let that slide. But after 25 years, maybe I won't let it slide.
Yeah.
Right? And I think these things happen because they never signed an agreement saying, for the rest of my life, I am okay with you being sloppy and not organized. Right? And they don't realize that when they said, hey, will you marry me? That that is what they're saying. Right? And the other person believes that's what they're saying. Oh, he just loves me how I am. He doesn't care that I'm unorganized. Right? And so these things get to happen if they're not clearly identified and communicated. So I love your idea of having an actual agreement.
100%. And I know, see, that seems so not emotional, but some of this shouldn't be emotional in my mind. There's plenty of room for emotion in an intimate relationship. And when you're using it where it belongs, that's what gives you all this happiness and joy or discontent. And I just think, why do we make it so hard? Things are set up for jobs so easily, right? You have a job application, which is similar to a sales call or an interview, which is what you're saying, dating, that's dating. And then you have the job description, which is kind of like the emotional or the expectation prenuptial agreement is your job description. And why is this a bad thing? Because this is where emotions don't belong. If I'm like, oh, Jeff brought me flowers. I don't even like flowers, but and he did this and he calls me 3 times, even though I know it's difficult. That stuff is possibly going to go away. Or you're going to find out you've been bringing me flowers every week and I don't really like them.
Yeah. Exactly.
But we get so caught up in that stuff and it's all like Twitter pated, like on Bambi. And we lose sight of what's important, which is what are our expectations? So I think relationships should be treated much more like businesses, and businesses should be treated much more like relationships for them to both be successful.
Exactly. And that's why I said it's the same fifth power formula that I teach.
Perfect. So I will be able to use it just in other ways. So you're keeping it straight. You're going on dates. You figured out a way to pre-qualify. Some people are going to think I'm so
powerful. I know they hate that word. I try to say different ways of saying it because I know in their brain, they're thinking that doesn't sound right. You know, but business people, you know, they understand.
Hey, you pre-qualify. Look, right?
You're evaluating, right? If I can live with this person for the rest of my life.
Right? Big deal, people. Big deal. That's a big deal.
Right? And most of the time, if you don't have that thought, if you're not planning that, if you're not thinking that before you go on the date, then you're probably not asking the right questions. You're probably not, you know, really making it a date worth meaningful because you're going to end up falling in the trap. Well, let's go out again. Oh, let's go out again. Oh, let's go out again. Oh, well, you know what? So far, this has been good. Better than being alone. So I guess we should move forward. And I think this is the trap that people get in because they're not actually getting to those core conversations ahead.
100%. I'm sure go through this in the book, which I already own, by the way, I've said that before. I'm going to keep saying it. But there've got to be ways with sales calls, with dating, with insert thing here that you can have those questions set up to have meaningful conversations to decide if you're the right fit. Cause I don't want a coaching client that's not a right fit and I will turn people away. I don't want the money. That's not the point. The point is the money comes when the situation is right, not the other way around. It's you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. So how do you come up with,
you should marry someone that way too.
Oh my gosh. No, because you know, the flowers go away. I always call it when the bills are due, But there comes a point in a relationship where you have to sit down and have tough conversations and things are a little off. And I think in my experience, it's been about 3 months, that 3 month mark where like feelings are really starting to develop and you can't smile through some of those tough conversations. You just have to have them. Finance is a big one. It's when all of a sudden you have to sit down and pay the bills together. The bills are due, you know, that you really start to find out. And if you've had those conversations ahead of time,
then it's not as much of a struggle. If right. you haven't, then you find yourself, well, maybe this person isn't right. Or maybe you're, you know, now you're having this thought. Now you're manifesting that. And eventually, again, it just goes down to a bad breakup or divorce, whatever, right?
You met these women, you went on dates, and what made your wife stand out?
She's very bold and adventurous. So the funny story about this, and she tells it different, but it's so funny because I got my view and she got her view, but
yep,
it's like, you know, from my perspective, we met at a barbecue. A friend of mine introduced me to her, and he knew I was out on this journey looking for the woman of my dreams because I communicated that with everyone. I mean, and so anyhow, we're at this barbecue and I start having a conversation with her. And I really felt like there's a good connection. She fits the qualities that I was looking for. You know, I definitely should ask her on a date. But at the time, literally, I had probably 10 or 12 dates already scheduled of other women that were already qualified, you know, however you want to met who I was looking for. And so I thought, well, should I just tell her? Yeah, I'd love to go out with you. What are you doing in 3 weeks? And I thought, no, 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 don't do that. So I basically just said, I really enjoyed our conversation. I know you know Charles well, so, you know, I'm sure I'll be seeing you around. And I went, you know, and I captured it for myself, call Charles and, you know, get an introduction to her, or get her number or whatever, when I had that availability to do that. And so that was that. But then on the other side, you know, Charles, she was like, oh, he didn't like me and did it this. And, that, that, that. And Charles is like, no, no, no. You guys had great chemistry. He had great connection. You know, I know he's looking for the woman of his dreams. You need to go see him. You need to call him. She's like, no, 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 no. And then she knew that I was at a personal development course and that we all went to, and she was just like, Charles said, oh, you just need to go down there as a guest. You know, he told you that he was going to be there. Why don't you just go as a guest to meet him there? And so she didn't want to do it, but Charles kind of pushed her to go do it. And she showed up and just said, yeah, I'm here as a guest with Jeff. And I'm like, and they didn't know. They're like, oh, well, let me find them. And so when she came, I was so shocked, so impressed that she just like went out of her way to see me again. And that made a huge difference and leaped her up into things to the point where I was like, let's schedule a date. You know, on Friday, I always had Fridays open as my second date. So if I went on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday dates, and I felt like some of them I should go out on a second date, then I always kept Friday open. So finally I was just like, okay, why don't we go out on Friday? And then we left. And then I took my buddy home back to his hotel. He was from out of town. And I said, I know we're supposed to have dinner, but is there any way we can just cancel? I think I should just call her now and go out to coffee because I know she's available. And he's like, sure, man, don't worry about me. I'd rather get some sleep before I catch my flight tomorrow. And so we did that. I called her and then literally we stayed up all night chatting, talking, you know, we went, had coffee, dinner, all sorts of things. And finally we just connected to the point where I just knew that she was the one. And then the next day I got up and because I knew she was the one, I basically called all my dates and canceled them. And, it was funny because most of them respected that. And there, because I basically told them I can't imagine going on a date knowing that I'm thinking about somebody else as well. I said, that's And I said, that's not fair to you. So I just want to be straight with you and let you know that I don't think right now is a good time for us to go out. And all of them said, well, if that doesn't work out, you need to call me.
Yeah, because how many men would say that? Like, men don't say that thing.
They don't do that, right?
Right? Because you are being super
enough, and right. they don't have a level of integrity enough to be able to do that.
And for from a woman's perspective, if a man said that to me that I was potentially interested in, I would be like, dude, if that doesn't work out, I want to be the person you can't stop thinking about, right? Like, we want to feel seen like that as people. So that was awesome. When did you tell her, and how on board was she?
She didn't know about anything about my journey until we went to the cruise. And
wow.
I really didn't share with her that I went on this big journey to find the woman of my dreams, you know, but every time she was around people around me, you know, after we started dating, they were like, oh, you're the woman. That's great. And she probably didn't know in any of that aspect. So it was kind of interesting from that perspective.
What did she say? Because, I mean, in hindsight, a lot of women might be a little hurt by the process.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I didn't share about anything, you know, around that. And in fact, even asking her after a couple months of really dating, hey, would you like to go to the Caribbean? Because I already had prepaid tickets. Right. So that was kind of an interesting conversation. It basically was, you know, things are going well. I'd love to just go out on a trip with you. What do you think about that? Do you have a passport? You know, and she did. So then I was like, well, how about we just go to the Caribbean? You know, I've always wanted to go on a cruise. Let's do that. She's like, yeah, that sounds fun. And I was like, well, I'll pay for everything. Don't worry about that. And we can just have fun, you know? And so at that time, it was no big deal. And then we're on the cruise. And so I had to, one of the things that we did is I told her, I said, we have to order daiquiris. And she's like, well, I'm not really much of a daiquiri. I like, you know, pina coladas and things. I was like, okay, well, we're just going to have one daiquiri first, and then we'll do pina coladas or whatever. And the reason I did that is because of this image.
Okay.
Sipping daiquiris on the deck of the cruise, which is exactly what I told myself would happen. And so this
I got it.
This image reminds me that when I really create my fifth power beliefs and mindset and really follow my formula, that I could really just have anything that I want in my life. And so now that's what, you know, I have that picture everywhere. I keep it in my wallet. I keep it everywhere. And it's just like, that reminds me you can get this done. And it reminds me that I can help my clients do the exact same.
Wow, Jeff, I just freaking love that. This has been so great. I want to just end on, how did that conversation with her on the cruise go? When you finally, because now you're super, it's been 15 years you've been married, you have 4 children. Obviously, this is not the first time you've shared this story in 15 plus years. How did she take it, and how long did it take before you guys got married?
Yeah, so I really didn't tell her on the cruise again. And the main reason is, again, I just didn't want it to be awkward. So it wasn't really until after we proposed and we were engaged where she started to learn the rest of the story.
And she, right? Okay.
So basically, once I proposed and everything like that, then that's when I started to share the story. And she's like, what? You did what? How? What? You know, all this. So, and she found out her story, and then she would tell me her side of the story, what it was like for her. And then I learned all of that aspect and so on. So, and so she had, oh, go ahead.
She had what?
And she has she had a child at the time that was about 8 years old. So, So that was another thing for her. She was a single parent, which is a whole nother mindset to be going through when you're dating someone. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that stood out for her with me, is that I didn't make that mean anything. And primarily because, you know, I had the thought like, oh, do I really want to date someone that already has a child? And that, but once I realized, I was like, well, what's the goal? It's like to have a family, you know? And at that moment, it was like, why am I even thinking these negative thoughts?
Right.
Right. The goal was family. And so I'd be like, so I have a family quicker. Right. And we
right.
already talked about having 2 to 3 kids as well. So, you know, all of that, you know, was all mute around all that. So.
So from when you met her to when you got married, how long was it?
It was, let's see. So that was July to, so it was about a year and 6 months.
Oh, good. Okay. Awesome.
Year and 6 months.
Jeff, so. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, you're welcome. Absolutely.
This has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Investing your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it to me. Have an amazing day.